Thank you for joining us, Eric. As I say with all these interviews, I am sure, that your interview can provide insight for a lot of people. To begin, can you just give a general profile of what you do? I respect your anonymity, but could you do a general profile of what you do in your career?
Sure. I run a technology organization where I'm responsible for about $400 million in spend for a company that has annual sales of approximately $30 billion a year. And I guess over the years with this company, I've held different levels of leadership positions to the point where I'm now a director in the company.
So I'm sure you're very skilled at what you do. That being said, when I first met you, you had a substantial problem with public speaking, performance anxiety. Could you describe for the audience what that was about?
Sure. So, I was at a point when I reached out to you where I had fear before every meeting. I had anticipatory anxiety thinking about meetings or presentations. I was avoiding opportunities due to social anxiety and public speaking anxiety. I was avoiding meetings. You'll notice I was avoiding everything, it sounds like, when I'm saying this. I had a fear about being fearful, which sounds strange. I had anxiety over anxiety. I'd be nervous that somebody would see me be nervous, and it was a self-fulfilling prophecy. So I'd be nervous about it. I would get into the situation, physically be nervous, and then kind of fulfill itself, so then it would just build on itself. So at the point that I reached out to you, I was in pretty bad shape, I would say.
So typically, let's say that it's the weekend, and this is back when you started treatment. Let's say it's the weekend, and you knew that you had an important meeting where you had to do a presentation on a Wednesday. What would go on for you?
Yeah. So for me, the less time that I knew about something, the better. So a scenario like you're talking about there, I would find out that I had to give a presentation the following week, and instantly I would have an adrenaline reaction. I would have an adrenaline spike, and immediately I would likely have some negative self-talk. And then,
like what?
So I would think some things along the lines of, you're going to be nervous, everybody's going to see you be nervous, you're going to embarrass yourself, there may be some leadership personnel that are in this meeting and they may not think you're competent, you're...
And what would your worrying in general be like a week leading up to this event?
So it would be a situation where, so after the initial pop, I guess, it would be in the back of my head constantly. So over the weekend, even while I'm spending time with my wife and kids, it would be in the back of my head. So instead of fully participating in my life, I would have this anxiety going, and maybe be, while I'm having these thoughts, I could be short with my kids or my wife instead of, more understanding around some situations, or I'd be thinking about it at night and it would be impacting my ability to sleep. I would be having a higher level, I call it just walking around anxiety. My baseline anxiety level would be higher, so it would be easier to set me off on an anxiety or an adrenaline rush than it ordinarily might be. So I'd say it was impacting my personal life, it was impacting my work life, a meeting that I might not have been nervous about. If I was already thinking about a major presentation coming up the week following, I may not be I don't know the right term, but, you know, I'd be overly anxious for a meeting that normally would not have impacted me at all.
Okay, and you're also saying that the obsessive worry was substantially impacting your mood in the process of anticipation of the challenge event.
Absolutely.
Okay, so what I do in all of these interviews, just because I really do believe in statistics, is I reduce everything from 1 to 10. So measuring the severity of your overall problem, there are layers to it, and this is what's important for listeners to understand, is the anxiety of the challenge situation itself and fear of being noticeably nervous and panic. There's the anticipatory worry, the obsessiveness that can be really draining, how these dynamics impact mood, the avoidance in your lifestyle, what you avoid and the degree of it and how it impacts your performance and your career and productivity. But anyway, you put all these things together, and if the initial severity of the problem was a 10 and one is perfect, where are you at now?
I would say that today I'm probably right around a 2.
All right, now there's a lot of things that we could talk about, mind states and nurturing and critical script and whatever. What I'd really like you to tune into, which I think you did an excellent job with, is explain to the listeners how you made adrenaline your friend.
Yeah. So, you know, there's no quick fix to this one. It took time. For me...
Yeah, but wait a minute. I'm gonna give a statistic there. You were in treatment, because people always ask me how long does it take and all that, and my response is, you know, what's your learning curve? There are many variables that go into a learning curve. You graduated in 28 sessions. I think that's pretty fast, given the fact that how long had you had this problem?
I would say almost as long as I can remember, but certainly got much worse following high school.
So a long time. You're how old now?
40.
Okay, so go back to the question, how you made friends with your adrenaline.
So for me, it started with trying to accept it, which is a very strange idea. You know, it's the very thing that you're trying to avoid. So I began working with you. I would go into meetings after our meetings and try to focus on the adrenaline and the anxiety and what it felt like, what it was doing to my body, how I was reacting to it, you know, and by going through that process, I started to gain a little bit of control over it. I began to realize that it wasn't always that bad. You know, one scenario may be worse than another one. So then it's looking at those underlying issues. Why is one meeting or, you know, talking to one group more anxiety-inducing than another one? So, you know, as an example, for me, talking in front of senior leadership was a major issue, whereas, you know, it wasn't quite as bad if I was just talking to my direct report.
Okay, so there you're identifying your hierarchy.
Yeah.
Remember when we systematically did your hierarchy, 1 through 10, relatively speaking, your fears?
Yep.
Which I would do with anybody who had a similar profile that you did. Would you say that you were proactive in going after the hierarchy, meaning going back to the football reference? Did you quarterback opportunities? Did you create them so that you would have the opportunity to implement the adrenaline acceptance technique, or did you tend to wait for the situations to come to you?
So, yeah, that's a key thing. So working with you, trying to understand some of those underlying issues and the root causes is certainly key, but, you know, the bigger key for me personally was then taking that and practicing, using every single scenario as an opportunity to practice. So being in meetings, eventually joining Toastmasters, engaging my natural child, sort of riding the adrenaline wave instead of running from it, you know, I began to realize that most of the meetings were no longer really causing high levels of anxiety. But, you know, for me, historically, that's a key point right there, which is then I would stop. And, you know, the wash, rinse, and repeat cycle would kick in. Working with you, something that I didn't do was give up, so I didn't let up. In the past, I'd get to that point where I was better or feeling better and stop. For me here, the key was to keep pressing on, identifying what was still causing me anxiety.
Yeah, because I was the quarterback coach like Bill Belichick, and I would not let you escape. But you did try a couple times, right?
Absolutely. And then getting into those situations to practice. You know, and at the onset, it's difficult to do that. Once you start to see yourself make progress, you start to feed on it, and you realize that getting into those situations with your controls on it, your rule set, and your changed mindset on it, you really start to gain some control on it, and you can go after those things that you're most fearful of.
All right, but let's nail something down.
Yep.
There was an episode that you had. You went to Toastmasters. You did a very good job of integrating Toastmasters into the therapy. And there was one bad episode you had. You had a panic attack in Toastmasters, right?
Yeah.
And it got to the point that you stopped your speech prematurely.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, not a pleasant memory. That was an example of the adrenaline getting the best of you. So now here you are, and you've recovered. Talk as specifically as you can. Listen, this is where you know, I really hope that the listeners are going to get some clinical impact and knowledge from this. Versus here's just another testimonial. I'm really trying here. Okay, so talk as specifically as you can regarding what you exactly did to gain control over the adrenaline. Yes, it's a hard question, but you are an expert, and the more that you can be specific, the more that you can help people who are hearing this.
So, for me, I guess So, exactly what I did was, number one, it's really accepting it, feeling it, acknowledging it in everything that I was doing. You know, a lot, for me personally, a lot of what I was feeling in terms of anxiety, I was not acknowledging. There was so much anxiety in my life that was caused by this, and ancillary anxiety, that I wasn't acknowledging it, and I wasn't accepting it, and I wasn't trying to do anything about it. So acknowledging it was the first and most important key. Physically trying to work with it. So being in a meeting, knowing and feeling the anxiety, understanding that I've got it, and trying to physically work with it. You use the term of riding the wave. So trying to change my mindset. For me personally, the biggest piece of that is engaging my natural child. So changing my ideas around anxiety. So in the moment, I'm having an adrenaline rush, an anxiety-inducing situation. Now today, what happens is I acknowledge that. I feel it. I try to change my mindset about it. How can I use this to better my immediate situation? And I'm rolling with it. You know, it's hard to say any one point that helps me to overcome that, but through all of the steps, I've built up, I would say, a tool set or a little treasure chest on the side of things that I can apply towards my anxiety to overcome it. And for me, one of the biggest items was engaging my natural child. I was not looking at any anxiety-inducing situation in a positive light. Everything was stressful.
Okay, so when you're doing good here, and I appreciate it, let's just clarify one thing. The natural child is a mind state. I do mind state work with patients. The natural child mind state is the energy of exploration, discovery, creativity, the development of ideas, risk-taking, healthy sexuality, joy, happiness. How did you apply, this question and then one last one, but how did you apply your natural child mind state to the adrenaline control challenge?
Yeah, so here it's actual self-statements to myself. So, going into a meeting and saying something like, what can I do to provide something positive to these people in this meeting, or what can I do to help these people in this meeting, instead of, oh God, I'm going to be anxious in this meeting. Saying something like, it's enjoyable to meet new people, let them know about myself, my group, my company, my family, whatever it is, as opposed to, oh God, I've got to go meet new people and I'm going to be nervous. Saying statements and believing these statements, they have to be realistic. So in the onset, it may not have been those statements. These are things that I'm saying today as I'm going into meetings, and it works. So when I'm going in, let's say, a real example would be, I'm looking forward to presenting the success that my organization is having and having an interactive discussion around it. Back 28 sessions ago, it would have been, why are these people asking me to talk about, my organization? Can't they just see what we're doing? So it's a totally different mindset and approach that I've taken. And what was happening was I wasn't having any fun. I wasn't enjoying it. I was not engaging my natural child at all.
All right, let me just comment, and then I want to end this with a final question. One of the things that I want the listeners to understand is that when Eric references natural child mind state, exploration, discovery, that's being in motion. He learned how to quarterback being in motion. When that process does not happen, the result on very deep levels of consciousness is recycled anger and rage, which drives the problem, the obsessive worry and the anxiety. So in other words, if you're not doing what you truly want to do or should do, be in front of that group, do that sales call, whatever it is, and your desire is there and you don't do it, that becomes an investment at a very deep level at what I'm referencing anger as anger and rage. Okay, last question. A lot of people, the majority of people who are looking for, who have profiles similar to you, and they're looking for help with performance anxiety, public speaking. I know that they are looking for a quick fix, some magic, and the work that we do is antithetical to that. It's hard work. You've got to feel that, which you're going to control. You have to feel that adrenaline, which is totally paradoxical or opposite, if you're going to learn the skills of controlling it.
Yep.
So these people who are shopping for an answer, they're asking themselves, is it worth it? So just talk for a minute about how your life is different given what you have accomplished.
Yeah. So in the grand scheme of things, 28 weeks is not a long period of time, but there's been a lot of change in my life in that time set. So today, in my professional career, I've recently taken on a new role within my company. I started back in April, and I'm now actively participating in several senior leadership teams and committees. I've got visibility in the organization and in my professional life that I never ever would have been able to attain or achieve just that 28 weeks ago. I can see in my personal life that I'm much more engaged at home because I'm not stressing and worrying about every meeting that's coming up. My wife has noticed that. I'm certain my kids have. My patience level has grown dramatically. So my ability to deal with adversity and challenges has grown as well. I was at a point when we started where I was frustrated because I was passing on opportunities in my life and my career that I really wanted to do and be active in, but I didn't do them because I knew I may have to do more presentations or have more interaction with senior leadership. And now I feel like that's no longer a challenge for me. So, anything is an option for me at this point in time, and that's a very empowering feeling.
Perfect place to end. Thank you very much
Thank
for
you.
Sharing.